Well, good evening. We want to take this opportunity, as always, to welcome those of you that are here on campus in our online presence. Amen. Let us pray, and then I'll share some things with you. Father, we give you praise, glory, honor, and thanksgiving for this wonderful day that you have made. We've already rejoiced and we've been glad in it. We're so thankful for our apostle. We thank you for raising him up for such a time as this. If ever there was a time in the world that we need apostolic government and leadership, we need it now. We thank you for his direction. We thank you for everything that you're doing in him and through him. It is truly a blessing for us and to us. So, Father, we thank you tonight for this class. Thank you for these students. And thank you for the greatest teacher of all, God, the Holy Spirit. Teach us tonight. Give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart to believe. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, real briefly, y'all know last week was exam week. I believe there were 70 A's, of which 22, I believe, reported was perfect scores of 100. I think there was 36 B's, something like 24 C's and 4 D's and 4 F's. So we know what that's about. Amen. Amen. Now remember, once again, we're not here to make tests and things hard. But as I said, you know, you have a study guide that's prepared for you, and the exams come directly from the study guide. Maybe a word or something changes, but I don't see no reason why we should have F's, D's, and even C's. Amen. Amen. I just call it application. Apply yourself. I hope that many of you have the heart I have. I just don't like anything less than the best. Amen. And if you don't like the example I'm setting, be like our apostle. He made straight A's. Amen. Well, ain't no sense y'all looking at me. I'm telling like it is. Amen. All right. Chapter number 2, Catching the Waves of Revival. This chapter has to do with the characteristics of end time revival. Now, I want to make it clear. You know, just because somebody call it a revival don't mean it's a revival. Yes, sir. What we're saying is, in order for it to be considered a end time revival, these characteristics must be present. Yes, sir. Watch this. At all times. Y'all got it?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So you turn in your books to chapter 2. Give me my first point there.
Spiritual timing.
Now, the first characteristic is spiritual timing. Spiritual timing. So it says spiritual timing.
Acts 2 and 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come.
Acts 2 and 1 talks about spiritual timing. And when the day of Pentecost was what?
Fully come.
When the day of Pentecost was what?
Fully come.
All right, fully come. Read.
They were all with one accord,
and they were in one place.
And suddenly there came a sound from heaven.
And suddenly there came a sound from heaven.
As of a rushing mighty wind.
As of a rushing mighty wind.
And it filled all the house where they were sitting.
And it filled all of the house where they were sitting.
And there appeared unto them cloven tongues.
There appeared unto them cloven tongues.
Like as a fire.
Like as a fire.
And it sat upon each of them.
And it sat upon each of them.
And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost.
And they were all filled with what?
The Holy Ghost.
Okay, now read the notes. I don't want the scripture. I want the notes.
God's time is precise in every outpouring.
Now, God's timing, notice this, is precise in every outpouring.
A kairos.
There's a Greek word called kairos. Read.
A specific appointed time in God.
It means, watch this. It means, number one, a specific and an appointed time in God.
related to a thousand other plans.
Now, because we're talking about spiritual timing, God is working all things after the counsel of his own will. So there could be millions of things that God is orchestrating all at one time. And watch what I'm about to tell you. Nothing is out of sync. Second thing is, nothing can interrupt his plan. I know y'all don't believe it, but you see, you have to understand, God never changes plans. You understand? Never let a divine delay become a devilish disappointment, because all things are working together after the counsel of God's own will. You understand that? God doesn't panic, because everything, listen to this, everything is on schedule. We're talking about spiritual timing. That's why in Acts 2:1 it says, and when the day of Pentecost was what? Fully come. The word Pentecost means 50. God is a great mathematician. Are you listening to me? So the Bible says Jesus was alive 40 days and 40 nights after the resurrection. Jesus was amongst the apostles, teaching and talking to them about the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. But Pentecost is 50. Are you listening?
Yes,
so he told them, go to the upper room. Don't depart until you be endued with power from on high.
Yes, sir.
How come the Holy Ghost showed up on Pentecost? Because God is the God of spiritual timing.
Yes,
that's why. You understand that?
Yes,
Pentecost is 50. There you go. 40 days, 40 nights, we say, speak of trials, tests, and temptation. Are you listening?
Yes,
God is the God of what? He's spiritual timing. And he's also a mathematician. So the reason I say that is because numbers mean something with God.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
All right? So the day of Pentecost was fully come. So that means that it wasn't behind schedule.
Yes, sir.
It wasn't ahead of schedule.
Yes.
It was right on time. Now, we're talking about spiritual timing. Keep reading.
He alone can coordinate.
God is the only one that can coordinate everything. Watch this. After the counsel of his own will. Read.
God moves on time and spiritual timing.
God moves on time and in spiritual timing.
Is the key to spiritual harvest.
And spiritual timing is the key to what?
Spiritual
harvest. Now, this is something we need to understand about God. God is the God right now, is the God of the now. What is he's the God of?
Now.
Now, the reason that I must point that out is because even though God is the God of spiritual timing, in the mind of God, everything is done.
Yeah.
All right, listen to me. God doesn't live in time.
Yeah.
God lives in eternity.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Time is an interruption in eternity. Let me put it another way. Let me not say God don't live in time. Let me put it to you like this here. God is the God of eternity.
Yes, sir.
Time is an interruption in eternity.
Yes,
you understand that?
Yes,
eternity means no beginning, no end.
Yes,
eternity means always was, always is, and always will be.
Right,
you understand?
Yes,
eternity means it never had a beginning and never have an ending.
Right.
So time is an interruption in eternity. Our time was set in eternity. That's why God is present in every day at the same time. So there's nothing that happens in time that surprises God. So it doesn't matter if President Trump is elected or the next president. God is not concerned about nothing they do, because God says at the end of the day, everything is working according to my plan. All right. So don't panic. You understand that?
Yes,
ain't no sense of panicking. Remember, in the book of Genesis, I believe it's 3:15, God told the serpent, he said, the seed of a woman going to bruise your head.
Yeah.
You going to bruise his heel. We already know that that's a picture of the cross.
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
You understand that?
Yes, sir.
But it was all about timing.
Yeah.
In the book of Galatians, you have him when the fullness of time was come.
Yeah.
Fullness of time.
Yes, sir.
He was born under the law. Born of a virgin, born of a woman. Y'all understand that?
Yes.
But it talks about what? The fullness of time. A mother cannot bring forth a child until it's the fullness of time.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
So I say that to say, don't trip.
Yes, sir.
You understand?
Yes,
God is the God of spiritual timing. You know, spiritual timing is so important. Consider Lazarus. Here's Lazarus sick. Jesus tells his apostles who he's training, this sickness is not unto death. Right. Are you listening?
Yes, sir.
But then he comes back and tell them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth. Right. Because they have no spiritual understanding. They say, that's good. Then he resting. Yes. Jesus said, no, Lazarus dead. All right. But watch what he said. He said, I'm glad for your sake that I wasn't there. Now, why was that important? Because Jesus knew that he was going to raise Lazarus up from the dead. Yeah. But timing. I needed to wait till the fourth day.
Yes, sir.
So I'm going to stay an extra day.
Yes, sir.
So y'all know he good and dead.
Right.
What do you mean by that, Dr. Walker? On the fourth day, your body begins to rot, decay, and go back to the dust. So Jesus went, got him up on the fourth day. Now, the Bible says concerning Jesus that his flesh didn't see corruption. So he got up on the talk to me. Why are you saying that, Dr. Walker? Because it shows you that God is accurate about timing. The Bible says Jesus would rise on the third day, not the fourth day. I know many of you celebrate Good Friday, but throw it out. He didn't die on the Good Friday. Right. Impossible for Jesus to die on the Good Friday and be raised up Easter morning.
Right. Right. Yes, sir.
It's just people don't know how to count.
Right.
Amen. I mean, if you're going to be real, keep it real.
Yes,
you know, Jesus didn't die on the Good Friday. You figure out 3 days and three nights from Good Friday. The Bible says Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights, so would the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. But on the third day, he was getting up. That's what the Bible says. So just to help you out, you need to understand the way God counts is not the way we count. The Bible say evening and morning, first day. Because God is the God of timing. All right, somebody said, well, when did he die, Dr. Walker? Can't you count? Can't you count? He rose on Easter Sunday morning, right?
Yes.
Morning was the third day.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
So that means Saturday evening was the third night.
Right.
Huh? Yes. Saturday was the second day.
Yeah.
Huh? Friday evening was the second night. Why y'all don't look at me? All you got to do is count backwards. You couldn't miss it. Y'all figured it out yet? Okay. Y'all go ahead on and figure the rest of it out. I'd say it all that to talk about spiritual timing. Spiritual timing is key to a revival. Remember, we shared with you last week that revival occurs at a time of great moral decay. A great darkness is in the earth realm. So God says he's not concerned about it. Why do the church always trip about stuff that God say I got under my control? All right, read, son.
Spiritual preparation.
Spiritual preparation.
Acts 2 and 1. They were all with one accord in one place.
All right, let me ask you a question. Did you finish reading spiritual timing? Or you jumped to the next one? I got to help my read my notes, you know. If I don't hear something, I got to go back. All right. You on the next one?
Mm-hmm.
So we finished with spiritual timing?
Yes, sir.
Okay. What's about the example with Noah and all other people? Huh? Okay, well, let's read. Keep going. Make sure he's in the right spot. All right, what's the next part? Spiritual timing. The next one is spiritual preparation. All right, read. He lost his place, y'all.
God cannot move unless man have prepared themselves.
God, spiritual preparation. First one was spiritual what?
Timing.
The next one is spiritual preparation. God cannot move
Unless man have prepared themselves.
Unless man takes the time to prepare himself.
In accordance to his word.
Now, not just prepare yourself, but prepare yourself in accordance to his word.
The fire came from heaven.
The fire came from heaven.
After the prophet Elijah had built the altar.
No, notice what it said. After the prophet Elijah built the altar.
According to God's word.
Notice why we keep going according to God's word? Because if God didn't tell you to do it, yes, he's not in it.
Yes, sir.
Y'all got that?
Yes, sir.
So spiritual timing also has to do with what God is saying.
Yes, sir.
So Elijah didn't just go out and do an altar to make a show.
Yes, sir.
He had instruction from God.
Yes,
read.
The rain came after Noah had built an ark.
The rain came after what?
Noah.
After Noah built the ark. All right, God told him it was going to rain.
Yes, sir.
God told him it was going to rain.
Yes, sir.
Do y'all realize before that time it never rained? All plant life had an underground irrigation system. The dew of the morning took care of everything. I'm just trying to tell y'all about God. But here now God tell his man Noah it's going to rain. Nobody never saw no rain. Noah keep telling folk it's going to rain. They'd be like, man, this dude, you know, he's tripping. But see, they didn't understand spiritual timing and spiritual preparation. See, God is the God who tell you what's going to happen ahead of time.
Yes, sir.
So you can be prepared.
Yes, sir.
That's why the church should never be unprepared.
Yes, sir.
Because we are the only group of folk who should know times and seasons. You know, we need to be like the children or the sons of Issachar. We ought to not only know the times and the seasons, we ought to know what God is doing in the times and in the season.
Yes, sir.
Our pastor right now is teaching us on maturing faith.
Yes, sir.
Quit being children. It's time to grow up.
Yes, sir.
As a matter of fact, he has declared unto us that if we don't grow up in this generation, we're going to get left behind. You can't go with yesterday's manner.
Yes.
What was preached yesterday, that's fine and dandy, but we need some fresh oil, we need a fresh word, and we need fresh revelation.
Yes.
All right? So Noah built the ark, watch this, according to God's word. You know what that means? He had to do every detail as God told him to do it, else the boat wouldn't have made it. Shundai. Read.
The apostles prepared themselves before the day of.
The apostles prepared themselves before the day of
Pentecost.
In
accordance to prophetic revelation.
According to prophetic revelation. That's according to God's word.
Yes, sir.
You know, Jesus told them. Jesus said, now look, I done trained y'all for 3 years. Say timing.
Timing.
Preparation.
Preparation.
Now he had already told them, nah. I'm about to send you out. But he said, but you can't go nowhere yet. And this is for folks online and around the world. You are not equipped to go out and deal in this spirit world without being filled with the Spirit.
Yes,
don't get upset with me.
Yes.
Don't cuss me out. I'm just telling it like it is.
Yes,
because if the 12 was trained,
yes,
not to go out, until they be endowed or endued with power from on high.
Yeah.
What make the rest of us think we can go out there? We dealing with spiritual things.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
So it takes preparation. The apostles, even though they had been trained by the master, even though he sent them out two by two, they went forth in his name. They cast out devils. They healed the sick. They did all the things he told them they could do, but he was there with them. He was there with him. Y'all didn't catch it. He was there with him.
Yes,
but now he's leaving.
Yeah.
And he's coming back.
Right.
But this time he's not going to be with him. He's going to be in him.
Yes,
don't go out without him.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Now, you know, the guy, well, you know, when I was born again, I got the Spirit of Christ and he's in me. Yes. But now we're talking about in you, in his fullness.
Yes, sir.
Now, nobody won't say amen on that. Y'all know that. Oh, not Reverend. No, Reverend nothing. Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit without measure. He didn't go nowhere, didn't do nothing until he was endowed with power from on high. He was baptized in the River Jordan, came up out of the water. The Holy Spirit descended upon him in the form of a dove. And then immediately the Holy Spirit drove him into the wilderness to be tempted of Satan, because he knew that this is spiritual battle. So I'm going to take you right out here, right into your assignment. The Holy Spirit ain't afraid of the devil, and we should not be either. Yes, because that is our equipment. The Holy Spirit is our equipment. The Holy Spirit does nothing apart from the Word. That's why everything spiritual preparation means I have to take time. I must look into the mirror of God's Word continuously. It's the perfect law of God's liberty. The mirror of the Word. I got to keep looking into it every day. You know how long you look into the mirror? Until you look like what the mirror say you should look like.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. That's good. You know, look at me. Ain't nothing wrong with the reverend. You got, can I help you?
Yes, sir.
If you look in the mirror and you still see yourself,
right.
Huh? You didn't look long enough.
Yes, sir.
Y'all better go look at the Lion King.
Yes.
Simba.
Yes.
Remember, Mufasa died. That was his daddy. Jesus told the people, if you've seen me, you've seen my Father also. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, we be satisfied. Jesus said, didn't I just tell you, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father? Huh? But they didn't believe. Jesus said, don't you believe I'm in the Father and the Father's in me?
Yeah.
Believe for the very work's sake.
Right.
Y'all know Simba, the Lion King.
Yes. Yes,
Rafiki was the prophet.
Yes.
And so when Simba lost his way, the prophet showed up.
Yes.
The prophet sent Simba to the mirror.
Right. Yes.
And when Simba looked into the mirror, didn't see himself, saw his Father. So in God talking about spiritual timing and spiritual preparation, he say, you ain't ready to go nowhere until you see Christ. You ain't ready to do nothing till you see the Christ that's in you. It's the Christ being formed in you that's the cause of true revival. See, revival is designed to impact the whole society. See, when real revival break out, it's 4,000 getting saved at one time. It's 3,000 showing up. It's the whole city under power. The whole nation under conviction. All this little craziness we call revival. Prayer breakfast. That's pray over the breakfast and eat. Can't change no city with a prayer breakfast. You need a revival. Come on, read. Come on, got to go here. Move.
They prepared themselves individually and corporately.
Now notice, spiritual preparation say you prepare yourself individually. And then, watch this now, don't get so stuck on yourself. You prepare yourself individually, then you prepare yourself corporately.
Yes,
now watch what I'm about to say. The corporate vision is bigger than the individual.
Right.
Yes, most people cannot be faithful in another man's ministry because they're too busy trying to do their own.
Wow. Yes, sir. I agree. Yes, sir.
You must be faithful in another man's ministry before God can give you your own.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And timing has to do with everything. You ain't ready to go out till you've been sent out.
Yes.
If you didn't get sent out, you went out. You went out with nothing behind you. Because without the blessing of the Father, it's not going to work. But if you get the blessing of the Father, nothing can reverse it. I hope they have no young ministers in here and online. You ready? You got one foot in the door to help the man of God and the other foot on your vision. Pack up your little bags, that little Mickey Mouse vision you have. Don't be in nobody church telling nobody you can't wait. You ain't got no vision till you get your Father's vision. Jesus didn't have no vision. Jesus said, my will is to do the will of my Father who sent me. I have one purpose, one agenda, All of my preparation have been to do what my Father sent me here to do. Read.
These are continued with one accord in prayer and supplication.
These all continue with one accord in prayer and in supplication.
With the women.
With the women.
And Mary, the mother of Jesus.
And Mary, the mother of Jesus.
And with his brethren.
And with his brethren. Now, you know, if Catholics just would know, if you Catholic, and I wish this can go around the world, a Catholic, if they know Mary was a tongue talker. I believe every Catholic would talk in tongues. But some kind of way they hide that. Mary was in that upper room. And she was one of the ones that the Holy Ghost came upon. And Mary, the mother of Jesus, spoke in tongues. Amen.
Amen.
Read, son.
They prepared themselves in prayer and in unity.
They prepared themselves, notice this, in prayer and in unity.
And in establishing leadership structure.
Now notice, they prepared themselves in what?
Leadership structure.
Prayer. Unity and leadership structure. Prayer, unity, and leadership structure. It's not just about praying. It's praying to get God's plan, purpose, and agenda. Unity means we all got it. What does that mean? We're joined in the same mind and in the same judgment. Which means now we need the right leadership. And if the government is wrong, the foundation is wrong,
yes, sir.
And the leadership is wrong.
Yes, sir.
Now, see, the churches don't want to hear this today. Because, you know, we got so many gifts. But if it's not connected properly to apostolic government, it's not on the right foundation. The church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone.
Yes,
he is the glue that's holding it all together.
Amen.
And he said these words out of his own mouth. If they won't get it from you 12, they're not going to get it. Because they can't bypass y'all and get to me. Just like nobody could bypass me and get to my Father.
Amen.
That's leadership structure. You can't come to the Father ignoring the Son.
Yes.
I know some of y'all gonna hate what I'm about to say. And neither can you get to your spiritual Father without honoring his spiritual sons.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Well, look, I want to talk to Doc. I need Doc to show up at the hospital. Hello. I need Doc to pray for me. Well, you know, and we have to correct people. You don't call him Leroy.
Right. Right.
If any of y'all ever call Dad Leroy around me, Apostle Tumpton, I'm going to slap you. Because evidently you be calling your mama by her first name. That you have to have honor and respect. And leadership and dignity. And I understand that in this generation, people are tripping about titles. You know, because, you know, no, they call Jesus Jesus. They didn't say Apostle Jesus. But you're not using a title like just throwing it out there.
Yes, sir.
Oftentimes in apostolic ministry, the title and the person cannot be separated.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
Yes, sir. That's right.
But the problem is now we have titles without the functioning.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
So now you can go to www.becomeanapostle.com.
Yes, sir.
Come on, sir.
I'm sure you see this looseness we have in the body of Christ with these titles got to go. Because I'm sorry, if you don't have the gifting and the proof, I don't have to call you apostle.
Amen.
I'll just love you, but I know what you're not.
Amen.
I wish we read the Bible.
Yes, sir.
In the book of Revelation, they say, there are some of you who call yourself apostles. We tried you and found out you're not. Where that's at in the Bible. People walk around, I'm apostle so-and-so. Well, good, sit your tail on that. Today, Dr. Walker preaching to you, apostle. All right, read the Bible.
Human responsibility is essential to revival.
Human responsibility is essential to revival. Government got to be right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Leadership got to be right.
Mm-hmm.
Followers got to be right. Y'all got it? Human responsibility. In 2017, what you see is a lot of irresponsibility. Everybody, irresponsibility, no accountability, and no availability. But Lord, I want the best.
Come on. Yes, sir.
You weren't playing the game and you didn't practice. You a superstar.
Right.
Michael Jordan was one of the greatest basketball players ever to lace up tennis shoes. One of the most outstanding characteristics about that young man was he knew what it took to win. He didn't go recruit a ready-made team. He took the pieces that he had, got them in the gym and say, these boys are whipping our tails. They beating us. We going to lift weights. We going to do whatever it takes to get stronger, faster, and we going to practice till we get it straight. And when our time comes, I did say when. They going to know we were the best ever. I don't have no arguments in my mind. You might, I don't. LeBron, you can name them all. There was only one Mike. And he didn't lose championships. And it didn't matter what pieces you put with him. He was like Tom Brady. All right. Read the next one. Come on. Now, don't y'all let this time run out.
Spiritual outbursts.
We have spiritual outbursts. The first characteristic was timing, spiritual timing. The second one was what? Spiritual preparation. The third one is what? Spiritual outbursts. Come on, let's all right, spiritual outbursts.
Through the apostles were expecting the revival yet.
Say what?
Through the apostles were expecting, I mean.
Though, huh?
Though, yes.
Yeah, though. Thank you. Though, yeah, come on, help me. I know what I'm.
Though the apostles
were expecting. Say expectation.
Expectation.
See, can I tell you why people are not excited? They don't have no expectation. God dog it, if you don't expect nothing. Look, I'm a child of the 70s. Nothing from nothing, leave nothing. If you want to have something. You got to hang out with me. Y'all afraid to say it. I don't want to be running around in circles. Running around in circles with no expectation. You better have some expectation. See, massive production manifested through the favor of God all year long, all day long. You got to put it in your mouth. Put it before your eyes. The apostle said it. I'm decreeing it. Nothing can stop it. The wind blowing in the opposite direction, not going to stop it. If the car breaks down tomorrow, I still got favor. If I get laid off, I still have favor. It doesn't matter what happened because this is the year of massive production. So if something shut down, another plant opening up. I mean, just because it's February don't mean the word changed. And none of it hinges upon President Donald Trump being in office. It doesn't matter what the Russians do, nor the North Koreans, nor Mexico. It's all hinged upon the greatest government in the world. The government shall be upon his shoulder. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. We live in a democracy, but we function from a theocracy. We got the power. And we don't need to look to the government to do what God said but rightfully belong to us. Let's look into the mirror. Read.
Though the apostles was expecting a revival. Yet they were still taken by surprise. So suddenly and powerfully. God intervened in the spiritual destiny of his church.
Y'all know why I'm telling y'all that? You can't stop this.
That's right.
I hate the Christians just make me want to slap them. Where in the world, where this theology we got came from? Pray, hold up, stop the devil. We ain't got to stop the devil. The devil can't stop us. Nowhere in the Bible does Jesus say, now look, boys, y'all hold on till I come. No, he didn't say hold on. He said occupy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Occupy. That's a military term. Yeah. You take up residence. Yeah. You take over. Yeah. We are designed to take over. Yes, sir. Wherever those apostles went, they took over. How many minutes? Five. See, I can't get too hot. Five. Now listen to me. No, listen to me. Y'all got to understand. When the day of Pentecost came on the scene, they didn't care who was in office. You don't read nowhere in the Bible where the Bible is listing who was in office and the economics of the world. And you know, that don't impact the church. Churches ought to be built debt free. God never built a church with a note. God's design has always been for all of his men and women to be wealthy.
Yes, sir.
That's government.
That's government.
Behind every government is money. Wealth determines the power of that government. You cannot build a strong military without money. So where does theology coming from? Hold on. No. Occupy. Take over. Run things. Jesus said, I'm going to build a church that hell can't stop. We around here teaching people to stop hell.
Wow.
That is not what we are up under. Apostolic government is go out and take over. Peter and them, when they called him on the carpet about healing this man at the gate called the Beautiful Gate in the name of Jesus where he got up, they started talking about, look, y'all can't be teaching this name. Y'all can't be preaching in this name. They called them. The council got them together, threatening them and all that stuff. Peter was chilling. Peter said, give me a chili cheese hot dog with some onions and take a side of fries. Give me a diet drink on top of that. That's messing with y'all. I say that to say this. Peter and them wasn't tripping. Peter and them, after they did all they did and all their threatenings, Peter and them said, can I ask you a question? Y'all go and discuss this amongst yourselves. Whether it's better for us to obey y'all or God. Y'all figure that one out. What we going to do is what God told us to do. That's revival. We going forth in the name because the purpose of apostolic ministry, and I'm going to stop right here, in revival is to prove that we are serving a resurrected Christ. He's not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. And anything that's living have power and strength and might and majesty.